Welcome to Writer's Circle Radio, presented by Classical Conversations. Today's episode comes from Jennifer Courtney. Jennifer is a challenge director, as well as the director of communications for Classical Conversations Multimedia. She is married to her high school sweetheart and lives in Oklahoma with their four children.
I'm Jennifer Courtney, and today I'll be sharing with you an article that I wrote called Getting Started Homeschooling, Choosing a Method. This article was originally published in 2011 on the Classical Conversations Writer's Circle blog on our website. This is part one of a series. The other two articles in this series are Getting Started Homeschooling, Organizing Your Schoolroom, and Getting Started Homeschooling, Organizing Your Day. Both of these can be found on the Classical Conversations articles section of our website or as episodes of this podcast. So let's get started talking about choosing your method. You've decided to homeschool. Now what? Where do you start? At certain times of the year, when parents begin evaluating their educational choices for their children, we tend to pull out catalogs and pore over them, searching for the perfect curriculum. Parents who have not yet homeschooled but have seriously considered it begin asking questions again about what is right for their children. Years ago, when my husband and I began to contemplate homeschooling our firstborn, I quickly realized that this decision has many layers. Step one is, of course, deciding to homeschool. This decision required one level of research in our household, which included interviewing homeschool families, observing a day in their life, and reading certain books. This first leap turned out to be relatively easy for our household. We were charmed by the bright, inquisitive children we met. More importantly, we knew we wanted to spend lots of time learning together as a family. We also knew that we desired to give our children a solid ability to understand and defend their faith. We felt called to homeschool, in other words. The second step, deciding on the right approach, was a different matter. Once we had decided to homeschool, I found myself confronted by a dazzling and bewildering array of choices. The curricula and methodologies available seemed endless to me. I needed to focus. On a friend's advice, I picked up a copy of Mary Pride's The Big Book of Home Learning, which considers the wide spectrum of educational philosophies from unschooling to unit studies, literature-based and principal approach, Charlotte Mason, and classical education. These same topics have been more recently considered in Kathy Duffy's 100 Top Picks for Homeschool Curriculum. This resource also includes surveys to help you understand your family's learning goals and styles. The first few chapters will help you to refine your philosophy and goals and then match these up with your family's style and a curriculum. From the beginning, I was drawn to both Charlotte Mason and classical, and so I began to investigate further. I read a couple of volumes of Charlotte Mason's original treatise on home education. Then a friend gave me a copy of The Well-Trained Mind, a guide to classical education at home. Even though our child was an infant, I read right through the high school years, intrigued by these lesson plans for academics at home. I shared the ideas with my husband, and we were sold. I later learned that many of the resources and assignments in this guide were informed by Charlotte Mason Education. Our next stop was our state's homeschool convention. This is a dangerous place for a book lover like me. On the advice of a very wise and experienced friend, I did not take my checkbook or my wallet the first day. Instead, I attended workshops on different educational paths to solidify and refine my own choices. Although the presenters were entertaining and enlightening, I must confess, I still could not wait to pull out my checkbook and start shopping. Over the last dozen years, I have learned some very valuable lessons about curriculum and the dazzling array of choices available to us. First, keep it simple. For generations, Americans in one-room schoolhouses and in homes learned to read with very simple phonic readers and the Bible. I have trained all of my children to read with homemade alphabet flashcards and children's books. Flashy curricula or software is not necessary for teaching the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. Instead, what children need is lots of repetition with letters and sounds and lots of practice reading aloud to you. The same is true for spelling. What children need is a well-organized spelling list of 15 to 20 words to practice each week. They should identify the rule that unifies that group of words, copy the words each day, and then spell the words to you at the end of the week. If Abe Lincoln learned to write by scratching words on a dirty shovel, our children should do just fine with pencil and paper. Keep it simple. Number two, keep it inexpensive. A high price tag does not always equal good results. It is more important for you to choose materials that are easy for you and your children to use. If it is expensive and comes with lots of games, incentives like prizes or treasure chests, or requires a lot of parent preparation time, the odds are very high that you will not continue to use it daily. Instead, choose things that you know you can finish. Spelling resources that allow your children to open them up and copy their lists of words and practice each day. Math drill books that allow your students to practice daily math, etc. Make sure it's something that you know you can stick with. So keep it inexpensive. And three, keep it the same. Children thrive on routines. As adults, we're more likely to get bored or frustrated and want to change the book. The truth is that establishing a daily routine helps your child to become an increasingly independent learner because they quickly understand what is expected of them in each subject. The second truth is that the curriculum is secondary to the instructor. Sometimes what needs to change is ourselves. Your persistence, patience, and joy will set the tone. So as often as possible, keep it the same. I'll add a note that's not in my original article, and that is, of course, there are times when you need to change something that's not working in your homeschool. But I've learned over the last dozen years that that's not the first recourse when things get difficult. The first recourse is to figure out if you need to back up and review with your child, if you need to spend more time with that child every day, if you need to model for them persistence, patience, and extra practice. Those things need to happen first, and those questions need to be asked first before you jump to the step of changing the curriculum. So again, those three ideas are keep it simple, keep it inexpensive, and keep it the same. Lastly, I would encourage you to keep a written list of goals for your homeschool. Each summer, my husband and I establish goals for our children in the categories of spiritual, responsibility — that's a fancy word for the new chores they're going to learn for the year — and academic goals. This written list keeps us on track throughout the year. Having a clearly established plan also helps us sift through the many curriculum choices and the advice from our well-meaning friends. It allows us to keep an eye on what works best for our children. In the years since I wrote this article, Lee Bortons wrote her book, The Core: Teaching Your Child the Foundations of Classical Education. If you're drawn to classical education or aren't sure what it's all about, I highly encourage you to read this inspirational book about how every parent is equipped with what they need to give their children a classical education at home. Thanks and happy planning.
This has been a presentation of Writer's Circle Radio. For more ideas and encouragement, go to classicalconversations.com/articles.